All right, so today we are going to begin talking about head and neck. We are not going to do eyes, ears, nose, throat. That will be tomorrow. So today will be a fairly light day. Hopefully we'll get done a little bit early. Yay! All right. So review of the anatomy of the head. Go back and look at your head anatomy. All right. History. We're going to ask about headaches, head injuries, dizziness, neck pain, lumps and swellings, and surgery. Pretty simple. We're going to inspect and palpate the skull. We're going to inspect the face, inspect and palpate the neck. And for the neck, range of motion. We've already done range of motion. Strength. We've already done strength. We're going to do lymph nodes. You need to know all the lymph nodes. And we're going to inspect and palpate the trachea and the thyroid gland. And that's it. Pretty cool, huh? So, abnormal findings. A goiter. What is a goiter? Okay, so it's an enlarged thyroid gland. And what's the most common cause of goiter in the world?
Low iodine.
So, in response to low iodine, a person's thyroid will get bigger so it can suck up what little iodine there is. Graves' disease. Graves' disease is a hyperthyroidism where there's actually an immune reaction in the body. And one of the most common symptoms that they're going to have is they will have what we call exophthalmos. Ex meaning out, ophthalmos, eyes. So big bug eyes. I mean, they will literally have these enormous bug eyes. Adenopathy. Adeno means gland, pathy disease, so enlarged lymph nodes, sometimes called lymphadenopathy. And then we have neck masses. Neck masses can be as simple as infection and as horrible as cancer.
What was adenopathy again?
Gland disease. And the major one is lymphadenopathy, which is enlarged painful lymph nodes. Let's take a look at a couple of these findings. So slow today. Apparently next year we will take a look at these findings. All right. Well, now that is a heck of a goiter. This goiter is abnormally large. Most goiters are not going to be anywhere near that big.
Where is he from?
I don't know. This is more like what you would expect to see. So, say again? Yeah, it's thyroid tissue. The thyroid gland actually begins to grow.
What do you do about that?
You surgically remove it and give, you know, correct the underlying. Yeah, well, not the entire thing. And then you give them iodine in this case.
What upping doses of iodine would not reduce the size of that? It is growing like that and you have to...
Well, yeah, you're going to have to surgically remove that. There's that one. What else did we have here? Oh, yes, that's... Yeah. All right, so here's a diagram of, you know, you can see the enlargement of the thing. Now, this one that you're going, what is that? That is so disgustingly weird and gross. This is what we call a multinodular goiter. So in this case, rather than just having a uniformly large thyroid, little parts of the thyroid have been growing, and it's not wanting to...
How does she get that big? Why wouldn't she notice, oh, it's happening?
You may not be aware, but not every country has as good medical care as the United States. And contrary to sicko, Cuba is terrible.
I thought they had good health care, or adequate.
Yeah. Adequate if you're one of the party members.
Well, it's communist. Everybody's supposed to get the same.
Yeah. You're not too familiar with communism, are you? You know, who's here has ever been to Cuba? All right, well, if you go to Cuba, the tourist areas are beautiful. They keep them really nice. But guess what? That's not real Cuba. And not only is it not real Cuba, the real Cubans, even if they by some chance happen to have money, aren't allowed to go there.
Really?
Yeah, the Cubans work there, but if, like, let's say the Arla's just, you know, a Cuban person, and she wants to go stay at the Hotel Castillo.
Even if she has money.
Even if she has money, she's not allowed to go there.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
Why?
So, and now, healthcare is free, but there's no supplies to get. So it's free, but there's nothing there. So that brings us to economic principle number one. If you want something to disappear, make the price lower than it really is. So how many of you have ever been to the store when they've got like a 3-for-1 sale, or they've got like Coke? Coke is like 88 cents a bottle. And you go and you're like, oh, I'm going to get me some Pepsi. And you go and you're going to get how many of them? As many as will fit, right? And you go there and there's none. And you're like, darn. So if you want there to be too little of something, price it lower than it really costs, it'll disappear. So if you price healthcare or oil below cost, it'll disappear. Now, if you want something out the wazoo, then what do? Increase the price higher than it really should be. So what they just did with corn subsidies, you know, subsidized corn. Now, you know, wheat is being plowed under for corn. You know, there's corn growing everywhere because we're paying extra for corn. Now, what's the problem? The problem is rather than eating that corn, we're going to burn it in our cars. So now the price of food in general is going up because anything that relies on corn, like cornbread, but I was thinking more along the lines of raising, you know, chickens are fed on cornmeal, cows are corn-fed nowadays, at least in the United States. Who here drank Coke for lunch? What's the number one ingredient after water? High fructose corn syrup. So everything that involves corn is eventually going to be going up as well. So, say again? Why are we using corn? Because it grows really well and because it's easy to convert into those things. Now, why are we using it for fuel? Stupidity. Yeah. Now, the reason we're using it for fuel is because it turns into alcohol. Now, alcohol burns clean. If you burn alcohol, it turns into water and carbon dioxide. So there's no additional soot or nastiness. Now, the problem with that, though, is in order to turn it into ethanol, guess what you have to do? You have to process it, and the processing takes more energy than you get out of burning it. I guess this isn't working, so I guess my little lecture on basic economics will come to a close now. We'll try a different picture. I already did. It's stuck. It's stuck. This whole computer stuck. All right, well, we covered the basics. Yeah. No, well, the problem is my... Oh, here we go. Is it? All right, well, we will continue on. Eyes. Take a few minutes to get there. Eyes. Now, what are the major structures of the eye? The iris. All right, so first let's draw the eye straight on. All right, so let's see how good an artiste I am now.
Looks like a green.
Okay. So, this right here is called
the eyelid.
This under here is called the other eyelid. Now, what's the white stuff called? The white stuff right in here. Sclera. All right. Now, what's this part in here that would be colored? The iris. Now, what does the iris contain? Okay, it does contain melanin. What else? Muscle. It is what allows the pupil to constrict or dilate. So what's this black part here now called? The pupil. All right, and the pupil is what allows light to come into the eye. What's this little squiggly line over here? Veins and arteries. Now, does the sclera have veins and arteries? No. So what are? How can you see little blood vessels if the sclera doesn't have? What's clear? No, the sclera is white. So what is it that you're seeing when you see these blood vessels if it's not the sclera? No, this is the iris. It is the conjunctiva. Yes, you her. Have. Yes, you have. Yes, you her. Yes, you her. Yes, you her. Yeah, that reminds me. There is this guy who learned how to sing Christmas carols backwards. And so he would videotape himself singing these songs backwards. So then what they do is you play them backwards, and now he's singing in normal, but everything he's doing is backwards. It's really bizarre. I can't remember. I saw him on like Letterman or something like that a long time ago. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, the conjunctiva. Now, there are two parts of the conjunctiva. How many?
Two.
Two. The two parts are the bulbar and the palpebral. Now, the bulbar is clear and is actually lining the entire eye except for the iris. So those little blood vessels that you see are a thin little membrane. They're floating on a thin little membrane of conjunctiva that's clear.
So is the conjunctiva thing up on top of the sclera?
Yes. Oh. Now do like this and look at your friend like this. Okay, do it. The red part underneath there, that is called the palpebral conjunctiva. So the red part underneath the eyelid is the palpebral, yes, conjunctiva. The clear stuff over the sclera is called the bulbar, the bulbar conjunctiva.
Why can you not always see your veins?
Say again?
Why can you not always see the redness?
Well, you can always see the redness, but sometimes it's more red than others. That's inflammation and vasodilation. So, let's talk about some eye changes. Here we have what we call arcus senilis. So this is the iris, and you see this kind of like this. Well, this, yeah. You see this thick ring right around the iris that's caused by fatty buildup.
Wait, where is the iris?
It just happens over time.
Where is the iris? I don't understand.
Well, this whole thing. This is a dilated eye, but there's this thick ring around it. And that's called arcus senilis. Happens in elderly people. It's a buildup of fatty deposits. You really see the problem with this. You can't. Here. Is that better? Okay. So it's this ring around here that we're talking about. Next, we have what we call pterygium. It is kind of a fleshy growth just to the inside of the eye. They're harmless unless they invade the iris, and then they surgically remove them. No, no. I mean,
protruding?
Well, it does protrude a little bit, but you don't feel it. You see it. Yeah. So it's a little growth. It's a little growth of the sclera. Sometimes they'll actually start growing into the iris. If they grow into the iris, then they need to be removed. But as long as they're separate from the iris, there's nothing to worry about. It's just cosmetic. Because then it can affect vision, because the iris controls the muscle.
I don't get that.
How do you get it? You just grow them. It's just what some people do. Why do you have freckles, or why does she have a mole? You know, it's just how the body goes. Yeah, more common in elderly people. As long as it doesn't come into the iris, you just leave it alone. If it starts invading the iris, you just surgically remove them.
Can we get it removed?
Didn't I just say you remove them?
No, but if it's not in the iris...
You can if you want to pay for it yourself. But it's just a cosmetic problem then. All right, so... I also need a picture of subconjunctival bleed, but I don't have one yet. We'll get one of those. All right, so eyes. Adam asked about visual problems and changes. Sudden loss of vision is always a medical emergency. Now, we're not talking about if you've been blind half your life and you can suddenly see. That's a miracle. What we're talking about is someone who can see and suddenly their vision becomes blurry, or suddenly they get double vision, or suddenly they have a bunch of little floaters in their eye. You know what floaters are?
Like little
dot that kind of like floats across. Now, everyone has those. They were made when you were a fetus. But later in life, if all of a sudden you're seeing a lot more of those, it can be a sign that you're having retinal detachment, which is a medical emergency. If you lose vision suddenly in one eye, medical emergency. So any sudden change in vision is a medical emergency. I want to ask about eye pain, strabismus, and diplopia. What is strabismus?
Like